Good morning. I don't know if you were aware of it or not, but we have in recent months, it's probably been over a year, have started a new curriculum for our children's ministry here at First Church of God. It's called 252 Basics. And this children's ministry is based upon the foundation of three principles, just three. Every lesson, every Sunday morning when a lesson is presented to our kids, it's based upon one of these three principles. How many of you knew that? A few, a couple. All right. The three principles are this. Number one, I need to make the wise choice. Good decisions. Make good decisions. Number two, I can trust God no matter what. And number three, I should treat others the way I want to be treated. So whatever lesson is being taught this morning there, and I'm not sure what it is because Helen and I aren't teaching down there today, obviously, is based upon one of these three principles. And this certainly is not our children's ministry in this place, even though we are hopefully all children of God. Sometimes, no matter how old we are, we can act childishly. But that foundational principle that we're going to talk about today does not change. We're going to zero in on that last one. I should treat others the way that I want to be treated. That's become known as the golden rule. You've probably heard that term before. The golden rule, sometimes a brunt of a lot of jokes, like, oh yeah, golden rule, fool's gold maybe. Or, do unto others before they do it to you first. Or my favorite, do unto others and run. And many in our culture today treat it as some kind of a cheesy cliche or some kind of spiritual melanta for old people to warm over in a Sunday school class. More than once have I had some students in my classroom, when I talk about the golden rule, roll their eyes. I'm not sure we live in a golden rule world, do we? Hardly. I recently had a pastor friend of mine ask the question, are you living the well-lived life? I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Are you living the well-lived life, the deeper life, the soul life? Have I brought more love to others? Have I brought more value to others than I have brought selfishness, anger, hate? Have I lived the well-lived life? You know, one of the important things of many important things, but one of the important things that my dad taught me as I was growing up is that there are more important things, many more important things than me. That's a hard sell nowadays, isn't it? So many lives around us are like one grand selfie. You ever notice that? We've been dubbed the selfie generation. Am I living the well-lived life? We're continuing on in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. In fact, we're kind of winding down, not too many weeks left. And we are in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount covered in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. And this living of the well-lived life is exactly what Jesus was getting at when he taught the Sermon on the Mount. And in our text today, we just have one verse of text today. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7 and verse 12. These brief 23 words embrace the underlying and governing principle of all morality. As a matter of fact, Scripture tells us these 23 words teach the total summary of God's law. Kind of interesting, isn't it? Listen to the words of Jesus. Can put them up here on the screen. Matthew 7:12. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is God's law in a nutshell. Treat others the way that I want to be treated. In other words, Jesus is teaching us to put ourselves in our neighbor's place and then conduct ourselves accordingly. Or as a sixth grader recently said to me, so what you're saying, Mr. Jones, is we should treat other people as though you were the other people, right? Yeah. Interesting that literally the original language, the original grammar says, in all things, in every area, whatever you desire others to do for you, you do for them. In all things. I note that those words of Jesus do not say in all things except in your workplace. In all things except at school. In all things except when you're behind the wheel of your car. In all things except on Black Friday. Whatever you desire others to do for you, you do for them. Starting to get the picture. Selfiness, yes, I just made up a word. Selfiness finds itself severely cramped within this philosophy given to us by the Lord. All of our responsibilities toward others are summed up in this spiritual principle. Now I'm going to ask you to close your eyes just a minute. And I'm going to read that passage one more time. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This sums up God's law, God's ways. There's a great companion scripture to this so-called golden rule. It's also found in Matthew, and it goes, you go down a few chapters, chapter 22 of Matthew, beginning with verse 37. Listen to this, and it sounds very, very familiar. That's why I call it a companion scripture. Matthew 22, 37 and following, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. I keep coming back, and you have heard me say it a number of times from this place. My grandkids have heard me say it many times. My students have heard me say it many times. I've written it many times. Those three major points, love God, love others, love well. Love God, love others, love well. My friend Jack, and he passed away some time ago, used to love to have me come over. I'd stop over his house for tea, and we'd discuss theology and philosophy. His favorite author was Andrew Murray. I don't know if you've read any of Andrew Murray's writings. And one of Jack's favorite quotes was this from Andrew Murray. My relationship with God is part of my relationship with men. Failure in one will cause failure in the other. Interesting, isn't it? My relationship with God is part of my relationship with men. Failure in one will cause failure in the other. It's true. I'm sure that all of us have shopped at one time or another at JCPenney's. Actually, Helen and I were there Friday. Yes, believe it or not. But I want to tell you something you probably did not know about JCPenney's. How many of you know that Penney's initial stores, first few stores, were called the Golden Rule stores? You ever read that or hear that? Called the Golden Rule stores. Several of his started out with one store, and then several began to expand from that. Mr. Penny did not like to use the word employee. He called those that worked for him his associates. He treated them just as well as he would like to be treated. And he was able to take a general store in 1902, build it into a multi-billion dollar business, because he actually did live the golden rule. Mr. Penny tried his best to always treat people like he wanted to be treated, treating them with love and respect and kindness and understanding and encouragement. Matter of fact, he used the phrase, building a community of encouragement. There are a lot of modern contemporary Christian writers today that think that they've invented that term. It's been around for some time. And I know that the J.C. Penney Corporation has fallen on some hard times lately. Even Ellen DeGeneres couldn't seem to reverse that tide. But maybe, I don't know, I haven't done any market research behind this at all, but maybe part of the reason is maybe the golden rule in reverse is involved. I don't know, just saying. I found something interesting in my study of this for this message this morning. See, Jesus isn't the only one that taught this teaching. I found similar teachings in the writings of Socrates, Buddha, Confucius, Hillel, who was a very popular Jewish rabbi in Jesus' time. But as I compared this teaching in the writings of all of these men and compared it to the statement of Jesus, I found a very basic difference. I found in their teachings what I call a negative golden rule. All of them state their golden rule in a negative mode. And basically what these other writers say are, do not do to others what you would not have done to you. In other words, refrain from doing to others that which we would not wish done to us. And some would say, well, what's the difference? There's a big difference, isn't there? Now think about it. Big difference. It's not a spiritual directive at all. It involves nothing more than not doing certain things, refraining from certain actions or behaviors. So you can sit and do nothing and keep the golden rule, the negative golden rule. This table can keep the negative golden rule. You can slog through all of your years, never doing injury to any man, and still put in a valueless life. Let's say that someone's been in a coma for their entire life. Born comatose, born their whole life in that condition before they died. I don't know if that's medically possible, but let's pretend it is. And at that person's funeral, we could say, what a great man he was. He never stole from anyone, never lied, never lusted, never once lashed out in anger. And all that would be true, wouldn't it? But we could also say, on the other hand, he never gave sacrificially, never complimented anyone, never offered a shoulder to cry on, never said thank you. All of that would be equally as true. Now, a person in a coma has a pretty good excuse for inactivity. But we have no excuse. Do not do to others what you don't want done can be observed by anyone. No initiative is needed whatsoever to do that. That kind of rule can be obeyed by simply sitting still and vegging out. And by the way, let me say that this kind of rule, the negative golden rule, lacks the fortitude to change the world in which we live. See, man's law compels us to obey the negative golden rule. The police officer compels me to obey traffic laws. I keep those laws for fear of getting a ticket and paying a fine. But man's law cannot compel me to stop and help a guy along the way whose car is broken down. I can keep every city ordinance in the book. I can be a great law-abiding citizen and never lift a finger or give a dime to feed a hungry person. That's why we have in place what's called the Good Samaritan Law. My wife and I could be out on Black Friday in Merrillville, let's say, for example, which we were, and I could have a man go down in front of me with a heart attack, and even though I'm certified in CPR, the law cannot compel me to help that guy. Now, Good Samaritan law says if I want to help him and it goes bad, I'm protected. My legal rights are protected. But I don't have to. I'm not compelled to do that. There are others that live by the rule, do to others as they do to you. Common in our culture today, isn't it? Get even. Return anger for anger. I'm going to get you back. Hate for hate. Others may live by the rule, beware of what others may do to you. So don't get involved, because if you get involved, you might get burned. I would guess, since I know something about churches across the land, there are probably people sitting here this morning who have been burned, maybe by other Christians, maybe by a church. So we're always on the defensive. Never let our guard down. We're afraid to get involved, always questioning motives. All of these things are negative forms of the golden rule. We may be right legally, but as a disciple of Jesus Christ, we can be all wrong because we neglect, we reject 1,000 moments of potential service to help others. Listen up. When Christ gave us this teaching, He gave us a commission, not a negative prohibition. There is a positive side to the golden rule, isn't there? I call it the positive golden rule. And that's how Jesus' teaching differs from all these other guys. It is an imperative command form in the original language, an emphatically positive action. And when we embrace His teaching, we actively do for others what we would have them do for us. A new principle enters into our lives. The good of my neighbor becomes the rule of life. Let me say that again. The good of my neighbor becomes the rule of my life. It's one thing not to injure people. The law compels me to live that way. But it's quite another thing to go out of my way to serve others, help others, and minister to the needs of others. Only God's love compels me to do that and to live like that. So, how has your attitude been lately? Has your attitude been golden lately? Many people say, yeah, I can handle that. Actually, in some ways, a piece of cake. I can do that with ease. If only they measure up to my standards. If only they do things my way. If only. Jesus did not say to do things if only, to help others if only they do something for you first. Well, if they do something for me, I might think about it. He commanded us to love people even when they don't meet any of our high and mighty criteria. Philippians 2:5, one of my favorite verses of Scripture, simply says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Isn't that great? Maybe. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Has your attitude toward others been golden lately? And by the way, we can't expect an unbelieving, basically selfish world to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ. Golden rule world? No, we don't live in a golden rule world. Maybe just turn on the news. But Jesus is addressing here those who are serious about being His disciples. This teaching is for those who are serious about being followers of Jesus Christ. I can't help but smile as I think about an incident in one of my classes about a month ago. There's a young man in one of my classes. I just love this kid to death. He's a junior. The very first part of his life as a young boy were spent He was a street kid on the streets of Kiev, Ukraine. When he first came to the States, he did not speak a word of English. He'll never excel greatly in academics, but he works hard. His name is Yuri. And I read this statement in class a couple months ago. I said, "Are you a follower of Jesus?" Those who aren't following Jesus aren't his followers. It's that simple. Followers follow. Those who don't follow aren't followers. Yuri raised his hand. I said, "Yes, Yuri." He said, "Duh." It's not rocket science, is it? And the golden rule is at the heart of practicing real Christianity. The heart of practicing real Christianity is not no smoking, no drinking, no this, no that, no. These things are Mickey Mouse when it comes to the guts of true Christianity. Practicing this principle of life is much more complicated. And yet, on the other side of the coin, it's very, very simple. You may have to stop doing what you're doing to occasionally help somebody out. It's a principle that is to dominate our lives at home, at work, on the bus, at school, at ball games, da-da-da-da-da-da. Remember, the original text says all things, in all things, every and any kind of situation. You listen to others as you want to be listened to. You seek to understand others' viewpoints as you desire your viewpoints to be understood. As an employer, you treat your employees kindly as a fellow human being. As an employee, you seek to make your boss and your company look good. You desire them to succeed. And the Christian offers encouragement and appreciation to others around him wherever you may be. Wherever. Going out to eat today? How do you treat your waitress? Are you a good tipper? Both of my daughters at one time worked as waitresses, got an earful many times. One of my daughters said, "Dad, I can speak for every waitress." She said, "I think in the country, I'm not sure." She said, "Waitresses, the shift they hate the most is the shift right after church lets out." "Really?" He said, "People that come, church people, when they come in the restaurants are the most demanding and they're the lousiest tippers." Black Friday? Kind of ironic. You know, you're elbow to elbow going through the mall and some people are already out of patience and some clerks look like they're about ready to stroke out. And in the background, "Sleep in heavenly peace," right? Man was on a city bus, crowded city bus. He had his eyes closed, and the guy next to him said, "Oh, are you okay, buddy? Are you all right?" He says, "Yeah, I'm okay. I just hate to see old people standing." How about driving your car? I struggle with that. Statistics say motorists injure and kill 1,000 times more innocent victims than all the criminal elements put together. They say the part of the car that causes most accidents is the nut that holds the steering wheel. How many of you heard of Cademan's Call music group? Okay, a few of you. They put out a song some time ago called "This World." And this song, "This World," is a reminder to us of the opportunities God is giving to all of us before he takes us home. I'm going to just read part of the first stanza. This is from the song, "This World." It goes like this. "There's tarnish on the golden rule, and I want to jump from this ship of fools. Show me a place where hope is young and a people who are not afraid to love." I've been reflecting on those words this week. And I wonder, will this church be known as a place where hope is young? Will this church be known as a people who are not afraid to love? Will we be known as a people who will rub the tarnish off the golden rule? Jesus' teaching, in essence, says, go into the world and make it a place where hope is young. Go into the world and be a person who's not afraid to love. Shortly after the Korean War ended, a story is told of a night watchman who noticed a hungry boy seeking shelter on the streets. He approached the boy and he said, son, see that house over there? He said, go over there, knock on the door, and when a lady answers, just say, John 3:16. Now, we all know what John 3:16 is. Probably many of you have memorized it as a child. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, the kid had no idea what John 3:16 was, but he decided to try it. So he did as the watchman instructed, went to the house, knocked on the door. Woman answered the door, looked down, smiled at him. He had no idea what was coming out of his mouth. He just repeated it, John 3:16. The lady smiled, invited him to come in out of the cold. And the boy said, I don't know what John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a cold Korean boy warm. Seeing that the boy was gaunt with hunger, the kind lady brought him a bowl of hot soup. And as he ate the soup, he said, I don't know what John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a hungry Korean boy full. After a nice bath and donning clean pajamas, he lay in a comfortable bed with tears flowing down his cheeks. And he said, I don't know what John 3:16 is, but it sure makes a strange lady love a lonely Korean boy. See, the basic difference between the positive and the negative application of the golden rule is Jesus Christ. People who prattle on and say, well, my religion's the golden rule. That's all I need, just the golden rule. Don't need anything else. Well, trying to live or trying to preach the golden rule without Jesus Christ is like trying to explain the vast meanings and depth of the galaxies by saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star. To truly obey this commandment, a man must become a new man with a new center in his life. And that center is Jesus Christ. Pray with me, will you? Father, thank you for these moments. Thank you for the preciousness of coming together in the name of Jesus. Father, may we have heard. Now may we become doers of the word. May we practice, Father, this teaching that the Lord has given to us. May we love. As a result of loving you, loving others, may we love well. In Jesus' name, amen.